right. Welcome to our new series, Movie Nights. And we show a movie on Friday and talk a little bit more about Wednesday. And tonight we're going to talk about do we fit in? Or do I have a gift? Did God make me in a special way, or am I so ordinary that I don't really have anything to offer? We'll answer that question tonight right from the Bible. When I was in seventh grade, I loved basketball. I'd really loved it for a couple of years. We started playing in fifth grade and sixth grade. We had programs, but in seventh grade, we got to get on a bus and go to different places, and I just fell in love with the game. There were 12 of us on that team, and I really thought I was one of the best five players, but my coach and I we disagreed about that. There were 12 of us, and what he had this system that I still hate to this day. He would put the first five in and take them out and put five more in and do a rotating like that. And I wasn't in the first five. In fact, I wasn't even in the second five. So as the first five were coming off and the second five were going in, it was just me and a guy named Howard Crane on the bench. And I remember looking down at him thinking, I wonder if I'm even better than Howard Crane. So I would think that during the game, and I never wanted to fit in so badly in my life, but I just didn't, and I had to work through some things. I had a decent career after that, but that was a very difficult time in my life. And, you know, kids poke fun and all of that, and I had to get through some things. Well, we saw a movie on Friday in Canto about it's an animated movie. It's set in the mountains of Colombia in South America. It's a special place where everyone is born with some special ability or a gift or a talent, something special. And it's something that they can do that's unique and that's just handpicked for them. But one of the girls doesn't think she has a gift. She thinks she's so ordinary and doesn't really fit in. And the movie is really about her figuring out that she does have a gift and using that to help everyone in the end. So tonight, I want to take some from this story and talk about it, because you might feel like this little girl. You might feel like me in seventh grade. You might feel like you don't really have much special in your life, that God may have missed you when he was handing out talents or gifts. What does the Bible say about that? We know what the movie says about it. The movie went on to show that the girl did have a gift. She just didn't see it right away. But what does the Bible say? The theme of the movie is that everyone is special and gets a gift, that everyone has something to offer. But what does the Bible say about that? I want you to know the answer tonight with confidence. So we're going to go to a couple places and see exactly what God says. I want to go to two places. The first one is something David wrote in Psalm 139. Let's go there. David says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, do you see that? David says that one of the reasons that he was thankful and that he had gratitude in his heart and he appreciated who the Lord was and what he can do, one of the reasons is because of the way the Lord wonderfully and fearfully made him. David was made special. God made David in a special way, so David could do special things, so he could lead, so he could make good decisions. There was a lot that David did. He built things, not as much as Solomon, but he really expanded the kingdom. And he could do that because of the way that God made him. He was special. That's true of David, and it's true of you. Psalm 139 Verse 14 is just as true of you as it is David. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're special. You are unique. You are gifted. A Bible word that we use for that is the word gift. Do you know only you can do what God made you to do? I didn't get your gifts, and God really doesn't expect me or even want me to do what He made you to do. You are special that way. You're so special, and your plan is so special that only you can really do that. And sometimes we call it them gifts. So you have some of your gifts are your talent, your time. Do you know the time that we have is a gift? It is a gift. Your energy, your passions, the things that you get excited about, that's a gift. Your relationships, they're a gift. So all of those things that you have, they're not like anyone else's, and you are unique and special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So maybe you're saying, okay, that's true of David, but maybe that's just for him. I'm not sure that that's for me. Is there anywhere else in the Bible that shows that? Well, I think there is two places, but let's go to a story in the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants." So here's a guy who owns a lot of things. He has people working for him, and he's going to go on a trip. And what he does, he delivered unto them his goods. He gave them his resources so they could watch over the place while he's away. Now notice they were his goods, his resources, and he doesn't necessarily transfer ownership. He loans his resources so they can watch the place while he's away. He doesn't give them the deed to his land, or maybe he doesn't sell, give them his house or cars or anything like that. They're just in charge while he's away. Now, you know, that's a lot like us, because while we're here on earth for however long, 50, 60, 70, 90, 100 years, we're only here a certain amount of time, and everything we have really is God's. God has delivered us his goods. Every breath we take, every minute that goes around our watches, all of the things we have, all of our relationships, they're really God's. We do our best with them, but we really don't own them. They're really not ours, and here's why I know that. Can't take it with you, right? Someday, our time on earth is done, and all of those things that we have either go back to God or to someone else. So what we have is really just things that are temporarily loaned to us so we can use them for our boss who is away on a journey and who's coming back like this person. So I want you to see yourself in this story. We're like the servants, and we're here temporarily, and the Lord wants us to do something with his goods. Okay. God made everything. He owns everything. I'm here temporarily, and then I pass it to someone else. Okay, here's what I want you to see tonight. Here's tonight's big takeaway, and let's look at verse 15. "And he gave, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, according to his several ability," and then straightway took his journey. So he passed out his gifts. And what I want you to see tonight, here's our takeaway, is that everyone got something. He had servants. Every servant got something. Now, they got different amounts, but everyone got something while he's away. I want you to know that's true of you. Everyone here get something. You get some gift, a special gift. God made you in a special way, or he put you in a special situation. You've got something tonight. Everyone gets something. Now, it's different. We may have different things we can do. I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I want to get out here and sing with the band, but I'm not a good singer. It would just be a train wreck if I did that, right? It'd be a train. Some of you are chuckling. It'd be a train wreck if you did too, right? We are good at some things, and some of us are good at other things, but everyone has something. You have something tonight. You are gifted. You are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Master, the Lord, has given you something for you to use. And it's important to understand that. You didn't get passed over. Even the person that got one of something, he got something. The Lord didn't come to him and say, hey, I'm out of gifts. Everyone got something. And I think Matthew 25 really, really proves that. They got different amounts, but nobody got passed. They didn't receive the same, but they all got something. There are no talent people. Everyone got a talent in that story and in this room. There aren't any no talent people. We have different amounts. Everyone has something. You know, I don't have a verse for this on the screen, but the Bible says in Romans that we have gifts differing according to the grace that he has given us. The Bible admits that our gifts are different. We didn't get the same thing. We can't all do the same things the same ways, but we have gifts. Everyone has something. Okay, Matthew 25, 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Okay, so here's what he does. He comes back after a long time. And I bet they didn't expect him to come back, maybe. So it had been a long time. They waited and waited for him to come back, and he didn't. But after a long time, he does come back, and there is a reckoning. Now, what that means is they had to really explain how they used their gifts while he was gone, while they were away from him. So there was a day when he comes back, it wants to hear about how they did. And that's true of us. There will be a day when we will have to give an account for what we did while we were away from the Lord. There was sort of an accountability or an audit, you could say, if you ever been through an audit. And it's kind of a scary thing, but it's something that we will do. So you have a gift, and the Lord wants you to somehow use that for him. Somehow think of a way to use that gift for him. Now, you remember that one person, at the end of the story, here's what happens. The person who got five, he invested it and got five more. The person that had two, he invested it and got two more. But the person with one, he was nervous. He didn't want to lose it, so he buried it. And he didn't want to take a risk. He didn't want to try and use it. He played it safe and buried his gift, and he got in big trouble from the master. Bye, Karen. Bye-bye. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. One reason that I know that everyone has some gift is this verse. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It doesn't say some people are going to have to give an account. It says every one of us shall give an account. So if we are going to have to give an account to God, to me, the way I'm reading it in my weird logical mind, we must have something he's given us to give an account of. In that story in Matthew, they had to give an account of what they were given. And I believe this says that we have to give an account of what we were given, some gift. And it's not the same as my gifts. I don't have the same as your gift. We all have to come to the peaceful place of what our gifts are and know that someday we're going to have to give an account of that. There's going to be sort of an audit. One person buried his gift. He played it safe, and he got into some trouble when the Lord got back. I want to close and just talk a little bit about Paul. Paul wrote a big chunk of the New Testament, pretty much everything after the book of Acts. Paul wrote a lot of those books, beginning with Romans. A lot of those letters to the churches Paul wrote. Some in the back he didn't, but he wrote, chances are, if you're reading after Romans 1, Paul wrote that, chances are. And do you know that Paul, while he was alive, actually got to go up and see heaven? Bible says in 2 Corinthians, he was caught up to the third heaven and saw unspeakable things. And so then for the rest of his life, all he wanted to do was go to heaven and be with Jesus. He saw it, and it was so great. That's all he wanted to do for the rest of his life is to get to heaven. But he wrote something in another letter, and he says that the reason that he isn't in heaven is that it's better for you, the people still on earth, if he's here, because he had some gifts. He had some writing gifts. He had some speaking gifts or teaching gifts. And it's better for the people if he's here than if it would be if he went to heaven. Now, it's better for Paul if he went to heaven, but it's better for the people if he stayed. Now, think about that just for a minute. He saw heaven and how great it was, and that's all he wanted to do, but yet he knew that it is better for the people if he stayed. And so his entire life, as hard as it was, as much as he knew how great it would be in heaven, he knew that it was the best thing for the kingdom if he stayed and helped people. He used his gifts to help other people. What a great way to spend life, helping people. So you may think, okay, Mike, I'm convinced. I've got something, and I think I know what it is. Now, what do I do? Here's what you do. Don't bury it. Don't use it for yourself. Use it somehow, like Paul did, to help somebody else. Either you could help people in some way. You could help them do something. You could show them something. You could teach them something. The best way to use your gift is to help them grow closer to Jesus. Show them that Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them. That's the very best way to use your gift. That's why God gifted us, so we could help other people here on earth. I am living the best life I can live when I use my gifts to help other people. That maybe should have been our takeaway. I want you to know the most important thing tonight, everyone gets something. But if I had another takeaway, it would be this. I'm living the best life I can live when I use my gifts to help other people. Father, we love you. Thank you for giving us a gift. Lord, show us. I pray you would show us two things tonight. Number one, that we have a gift. And number two, how to use that to help other people. Lord, we pray that and ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to be back next week for our last movie night. Hope you can make it. And then we'll start a new series here at the Esquire.